tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of November 30th, 1996, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker for the morning.
Well, I never knew that's the way it was going to go this morning. That's the way the Lord does it. Cough a little bit here so everything won't fall on the floor. You know, when the Holy Ghost does something, it works right. If I try to do something or you try to do something, why, it don't always come out right. When the Holy Ghost does, why, and there's been a wonderful presence of the Lord over this place this morning. If you needed something and you need something, it's here for you. It's here. You don't have to look for it this morning. It's here. Amen, amen. Well, time has gotten away from us, and there were a couple other things that I had in mind this morning, but now we're just going to have to bypass that and go on, because we got want to study the Word a little while this morning. After all of this, we need a little Word of the Lord to go with it. And I'm going to start out where I hadn't intended to until all this happened. And so I'm going to start. Somebody's got notes. You'll be wanting your notes. So get your notes out so you can write what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. It'll be on the tape, too. You can get it off the tape. But several years ago, the Lord brought us into an understanding of ancestral curses. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm just laying the groundwork here. And he brought it to us because of a study that we were doing on the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to start this morning by telling you what the Lord showed me about the blood of Jesus. It started out by tradition. Our study that night was about tradition, and it was about the tradition of the statement that we make that I plead the blood. Satan doesn't answer to anything, but it is written. And the statement that I plead the blood, you cannot find it written anywhere in the Scripture. So when you come with demonic forces or demons and you use that phrase, they will laugh at you if they're pressed or if they're one of these stubborn ones, and some of them are, and they'll laugh at you. So there are five areas of the blood of Jesus that the demons have to listen to. And so we were studying in that area, and through that study we came to the understanding of ancestral curses. But these five areas of the blood of Jesus I'm going to repeat to you here. I'm not going to give you the list of scriptures. You can get your concordance and look it up if you want to find them. But most of them you will know without even looking for them. Well, I'll give you one. One is Leviticus 3 and 17 is one scripture. And then, these five areas are living life for us in the blood of Jesus that we can use in our walk with the Lord and in praying for people or for praying with for people for deliverance, is that you can appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus. There are scriptures to appropriate the blood of Jesus. Okay? There are scriptures to apply the blood of Jesus. There are five of them. There are five areas of the blood of Jesus that's scriptural. Just as there's the gifts of the Spirit, there's five applications many places. There's three, there's five, there's seven. There's 12. But anyway, So we can apply the blood of Jesus. We can appropriate the blood of Jesus. We can cover with the blood of Jesus. We can cover with the blood of Jesus. And Leviticus 3 and 17 is sprinkle. We can sprinkle with the blood of Jesus. And you'll find that in many places, scriptures in sprinkling. You'll find scripture in Hebrews and other places of sprinkling with the blood of Jesus. In Leviticus 4 and 12, I believe it is another scripture for sprinkling the blood of Jesus. So we've got, I've given you, we can apply and we can appropriate and we can cover and we can sprinkle. And there's one more. What's the other one? And what's the scripture for it? Revelation 1. Isn't it 12:11, is it? Or 11:12? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. So just to be sure here, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. And we're dwelling in them, so we come to the time of rejoicing because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then back, I believe, in Revelation 1 again, we have here in verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto our God and unto his Father. There's another tradition there, and read a little error in translation for the original. There's two places where it says that we are kings and priests, but if you'll get your concordance and look in the original, you'll find it doesn't say that. It says we are a kingdom of priests. Jesus is king. There's no other king besides him. He is king. And we are under him. That brings us to those five applications of the blood of Jesus. Now, there are five more besides that. And part of it we were praying here this morning. And that's what brought all this to my mind here this morning, especially when I was praying with my sister over here. Why, this all came to me. The applications of the blood of the Lord Jesus. The first one was the crown of thorns was the first one. And the crown of thorns was placed upon his head and pierced the skin, and blood ran down his face. So he bled, and his head was pierced for my mind, that I might have a sound mind. And he bled for the soundness of my mind. Then following that, he was taken to the whipping post. And Isaiah 53 and 5 says that by his stripes we're healed. And I appropriate and apply the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post for the healing of my physical body. And I can stand and quote and say, Satan, it is written in Isaiah 53 and 5 that by the stripes that Jesus suffered and the blood that he shed at the whipping post, there's healing for my physical body. And body, I command you to receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself that it's for you, it's for me. Amen. Then they took him to Calvary. I know we got a lot of songs we sing about the cross, but you'll not find the word cross in the original text. They took him to the tree at Calvary. And it's really immaterial, I guess, but to me it kind of is. And in my understanding of studying the scriptures, Jesus was crucified this-a-way and not this-a-way. As I've studied the scriptures and studied everything I can find about the history of the cross, I find that Jesus was crucified on the tree. In the original, it says the tree and not a cross. That may be of little difference, but it's still tradition, in my opinion. Anyway, at Calvary, they crucified him at Calvary. And what did they do? They nailed his hands. And he bled from his hands, that my work might be a work of holiness for the Lord Jesus. That my work might be holiness unto the Lord. I present my hands, holiness unto the Lord, for he is holy. And then they nailed him to the tree this way. One nail went through both feet, and they nailed him there to the tree. And he bled from his feet, that I might walk a walk of holiness, that I might walk a walk of righteousness and holiness, because he shed his blood for my walk and for my righteous walk of holiness. And then they pierced his side, and blood and water came forth, that I might have cleansing for my sins. For by his shed blood at Calvary, I have remission of sins. And for the blood that flowed from his side and the water that flowed forth, it brings washing and cleansing, that the filth of yesterday can be washed away, and I can walk and be cleansed whiter than snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb, whiter than the fleece of the wool. For Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior and my Redeemer. And he's Lord of lords and King of kings. And to him be praise and glory and dominion and power and authority forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For he is Lord. He is Lord. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. I give you praise. Hallelujah. So we've come together this weekend for many different reasons, but I hope and trust most of all to give praise unto Jesus. For he is worthy. He is worthy. And throughout eternity, we will never be able to praise him enough. Amen, amen. Well, anyway, so he's brought us through salvation, bring us through deliverance. Then he brought us, and then he desires a holy people. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And I used to read that, and I used to think that's wonderful. That's fine, but nobody can be holy, Lord. You know better. You know nobody can be holy. But I've changed my mind. I've decided that he meant what he said. Amen. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. Amen. And he means for that. Now, we all fail and fall short, but we're supposed to get up and kick ourselves in the rear end and get going. And say, Lord, I've failed, forgive me, and I come to repent and to walk on down the road, a path of righteousness and holiness, because you've asked me to and because it says in your word that I am to be holy as you are. And you can't do it by yourself. You can only do it with the help of the Holy Ghost. So we need the Holy Ghost to be a guide and a direct to us, and to convict us, and to prick us in our spirit when we do that which is not righteous in before the Lord. We need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is sent. Jesus, when he went away, said, I will send the Comforter, and when he has come, he will lead you into all truth. So the Holy Ghost is in charge on the earth today until Jesus comes back to become king. Or be king. He is king. To come and take his place of authority. So the Holy Ghost is in charge here on earth today. And we need to recognize and honor the Holy Ghost. And realize that he's the one who's in charge of the earth until Jesus returns. And I thank the Holy Ghost for his presence in this place. And his anointing that he brings from the throne. Amen, amen. Well, over in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. I opened my Bible almost to the chapter. You know, sometimes I've opened my Bible and it has opened exactly where I was going to turn to. And Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 23 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, it came unto Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, son of man. And Ezekiel is called the Son of Man. I forget how many times here that he is called the Son of Man. Son of Man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of thee thereof. Like a roaring lion ravaging the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure of and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put a difference, they have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. and have hid their eyes from mine Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like the wolves ravaging the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets or ministers have dabbed them with untempered mortar. They have watered or tried to explain away the word of the Lord. And have tempered them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and writing lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. We don't have to look any farther than what's taking place in America to see the fulfillment of everything that I have read.
Amen.
Shedding of innocent blood, the witchcraft and sorcery that's in the land, the Satan worship that's in the land, the pleasure. America is pleasure mad. Hot springs has a demon of pleasure over it. It's pleasure. Sex is rampant in the nation. Everything that's an abomination to God is taking place in this nation. And the worst thing of all is the rebellion against God and the shedding of innocent blood. Distorting the word and the tradition of men. And we take and listen to the traditions of men instead of studying the word to see if these things be so. Okay. Then it says, and I sought for a man or a champion. In the original it says, I sought for a champion among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And I trust today that there are all of us sitting here that the Lord will know that he's found somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That he's found a people, that there are a people rising in the land that are determined to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be intercessors. So we're going to study what God's calling us to be, intercessors. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, is a wonderful, wonderful book of prophecy. So is Isaiah. But there's a lot of things in both the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah that people don't want to accept. And tradition has washed a lot of it away so that they tell us it's not for today. But God says, my word changes not. And worst of all, he says in Revelations 22 and verse 18 and 19 that if you change one dot or one tittle, you take your name out of the book of life. So I'm greatly concerned about a lot of people who are saying that God's taken a lot of things out of the book. Help me, Lord, to rightly divide. Help me, Lord, to 2 Timothy 2 and 15, that I learn, that I rightly divide, that I desire to rightly divide. I study to see if these things be so.
Amen.
You study to see if what I says be so.
Amen.
Because if you don't, and I'm wrong, then it's your problem. Because it says you're supposed to study to see. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem or the church, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. See if you can find a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, and if there be any that execute judgment and that seeketh the truth. And if you find such doing that, I will pardon it. So God says that if we seek him and bring the, as Daniel of old, if we bring the abominations of the land up before him and stand and be intercessor between the porch and the altar of the abominations in the land, as Daniel of old brought the sins of his fathers and then the sins of the nation, as we do likewise, bringing the sins of this nation, God says that he will hear and answer. And hear our prayers. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verses 15 and 14, 15 and 16 there says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that he'll hear from heaven and will hear our prayers that's made in this place or wherever you pray, and will heal our land.
Yes.
So, but God's judgment has to come in the land because of the abominations. I said his judgment must come. It has to come. So we can thank the Lord for his judgment but in the midst of the judgments, we can stand and be an intercessor for that God will bring righteousness to rule and reign as well.
Amen.
So the two are contrary to each other, yet they go together. When God's judgments are in the land, so then is his intercessors, the visions of Annie that the Lord gave Annie. In one of the visions, he saw the earth was, she saw the earth was completely black. It was covered, the whole earth was clothed in darkness, black. And then as she looked, she saw little specks like a pin of light in the darkness. And as she watched, the Lord let it clear up, and she saw these little lights in the darkness. All over the world, there was little light. There was the little covers, like a little plastic cover. And under this little plastic cover was a light shining bright. And God says, showed her that that's the way it would be in the last day. It would be darkness would cover the earth, but in the midst of the darkness, there would be the candle of the light of the Lord that was shining bright and covered and protected by his protection. Fear not the day of tribulation, for it brings in the day of the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, Joel chapter 2, verse 17, it says, let the priest and the ministers of the Lord do what? Weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. We got a lot of heathen ruling over us in the last. But the Lord's going to change it. O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? I'll tell you where our God is. He reigns and he rules in the hearts of his people. And I declare that he reigns and he rules over the United States of America and over the other nations of the earth. Jesus rules. He is Lord over them. The scripture says that he puts up and he puts down. So we need to pray for our president. But we sure can't agree with him, but we can sure pray for him. And bind that spirit of pride and spirit of rebellion and spirit of witchcraft that's in the White House. And all that fornication and adultery and lesbianism and homosexuality and that curse of it that's there. And abortion that's in the place, the seat of government over this land. It's ruled right now by Satan. But God says that his people are going to take it back. Yes. Amen. Amen. He's raising up a people strong and mighty. Yes. It's going to stand and they're going to march through the land declaring it may not be literal and it might be literal. But it's going to be by might, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord God of armies, says the Lord of hosts. Amen, amen. He is Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Well, God's looking for intercessors. Ezekiel chapter 9. And here we find in Ezekiel chapter 9 a tradition that Ezekiel 9 absolutely abolishes. And it's a tradition, a teaching of the elders that I have heard since I can remember because I was almost born in Pentecost. I was about a year old when my parents got saved in a mission in Springfield, Illinois, got the Holy Ghost. And ever since I can remember, especially in the early 30s, about Mussolini and then Hitler and Stalin and the books that were written that Mussolini was the Antichrist and that the mark of the beast was coming, and don't take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you'll go to hell. Well, the situation is that they were teaching us error. I was being taught error, yes. Traditional error. They had no scripture for what they were teaching me. That surprised some of you?
Right.
We don't want to take the mark of the beast. That's true. But what we need to know and what I should have been being taught and what you should be being taught is what I'm going to teach you right now this morning. Ezekiel chapter 9. The mark of the beast I have no problem with the mark of the beast. When it comes, it may already be here. I don't know, but it doesn't bother me because I find another mark that I desire to have which supersedes and has authority and dominion over the mark of the beast. And this is what we need to be taught and understand. We don't need the fear of the mark of the beast. What we need to do is fear the word of the Lord. Fear that we don't have it hid in our heart when these things come, that we'll not stand. If we have the word of the Lord, it is written within us. These things will not bother us when they come because we'll have dominion over them. Oh, we may die the martyr's death, but that's immaterial. That's really immaterial, really. And if material things are immaterial. And all of us have hung on to material things too tightly. We need to hold them. We have to have them. It's necessary. But they're not our God. They're not our goal. Our goal is the kingdom of the living God. Ezekiel chapter 9. He, the Lord, cried in Ezekiel's ear with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city, over the church, to draw near. Every man with his sword, his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, what? 6 men came. There's the mark of the beast, if you want it. There they are. There's 6 men that's going to bring slaughter. They got a slaughter weapon. And they came the way of the high gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went and stood beside where? The place of judgment, the brazen altar. They stood beside God's judgment has now come, and they're there to execute the judgment of God. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the chair whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, the church, and do what? Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls that do what? That sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. We find this again in Revelations. We find again where there are those who, the one who comes to put a mark in the forehead of those who are intercessors or overcomers. So here the Lord has said that to go through the church and put a mark in the forehead of those who sigh and cry between the porch and the altar for the abominations. That's where? In the household of faith. It doesn't say out in the heathen world. It says that's in the household of faith. And in the last few years, we've seen and heard of some of the abominations that's in the household of faith. But that's only a touch of it. If the Lord would open it up and you saw it, that's only a touch of it. We have, and I thank the Lord for the privilege that we have of ministers who have been involved in homosexuality, in molestation, in adultery, that have come for ministry and for prayer. They can't go to their elders. They can't go to their district superintendent, because what happens? They get excommunicated. The worst thing that could happen to them. Because they'll kick them in the face. It tears you up inside when it happens. When there's those that come. And we've had them come, and there'll be more come. And I thank the Lord that they feel free to come. Because they know to be set free. They want to walk in the holiness and righteousness, but they got bound by Satan, and they need somebody to help them. And he's calling every one of us to be helpers, to be deliverers in Zion, to set the captives free. They're bound except with chains. And the Lord says he sent us to set the captives free. So when somebody needs prayer for something, don't feel that you got to get somebody else to pray. You're the one there. You do the praying. And as you start to pray, the Holy Ghost will bring. He'll show you what to do. He'll help you. The Holy Ghost will help you. That's what he's here for. And he's here to help. There's many a time we've started to pray for somebody, you know. They said this or that. And first thing you start to pray, well, you hear you praying for something altogether different. You got to get that taken care of first, and then you get back to what they was asking or wanting you to pray for. Well, anyway, so we need to desire and seek for the mark of the intercessor. Because if you have the mark of the intercessor, there is no demonic power or mark of the beast that has any right to those who are intercessors. For it supersedes and takes authority over the mark of the beast, the mark of God. And so when people talk to you about or speak to you about the mark of the beast, you ask them if they have the mark of the intercessor. Tell them that's what they need to be afraid that they don't have, that they don't have the mark of the intercessor. I desire to have the mark of the intercessor so that that when the angel goes through the land, that it'll pass over just as what it said to the Hebrew children in Egypt, where it said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over them. And when he sees the mark of the intercessor, he'll pass over us today. Amen. So we need to desire the mark of the intercessor. And then he said to the others, to these other six men who had their sword, their slaughter weapon. And he said to the others, in my hearing, go after him through the church and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have pity. He said, go after the man clothed in linen with the writer's inkhorn. Go after the man who is marking them in their forehead. And everybody that he doesn't mark, you slay utterly. Old and young, maid and children and women. But come not near any man, woman, boy, or girl upon whom is my mark. Amen. So, Lord, help us to desire, to seek, and to become that intercessor that you want us to be. And he said, begin where? At my sanctuary. Begin at the sanctuary. And then they begin with the ancient men, with the elders of the household of faith. They begin with them. Because they were an abomination to God. Because they were, and you'll read another place where it said, so look and see what they're doing. He said, scrape off there so you can see through the wall. And there the elders of Israel sat praying to Tammuz and to the sun god with their face toward the east. In the sanctuary, praying to the sun god and to Tammuz. Tammuz actually is where we get the sign of the cross. Tammuz is Samarinus, Nimrod's wife, the child of Samarinus, Tammuz. And Samarinus and Tammuz is where the mother and Christ child worship, or so, not Christ child, forgive me, Lord, where the mother and child worship came from Babylon. It's all in ancient history. And they begin at the sanctuary, and they begin with the ancient men which were before the house of the Lord. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. And go ye forth, and they went forth, and they slew in the church or the city. So the Lord says to start with the ancient men, start with the household, start in my house. And when you think about it, it starting in the church, it's awesome, with the so-called household of faith. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and that I was left, and that I fell upon my face, and that's what we all need to do, and cried and said, oh, Lord God, will you destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon the church? And then he said unto me, the iniquity. What is iniquity? That's when you know to do right and you deliberately do wrong. That is iniquity. And the household of faith knows to do right and they are deliberately disobeying the word of the Lord. And God says that is iniquity.
Amen.
And what is the problem with iniquity? And he said, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. And the land is full of blood. Well, the land today is full of blood. Close to 40 million abortions has been aborted. The land is full of blood. It couldn't get much fuller. It never got that full in the days of Baal worship. There was that many that ever was offered to Baal, as has been offered to pleasure and to sex in America in the last 25 years. It is, and God has to judge innocent blood. He said that innocent shed blood has to be judged. So God has to judge it. It is a fact that you must understand. God's judgment will and is coming. It will. It has to come. In fact, we should thank the Lord for it, because without it, there'll be no. The land can't be cleansed. His judgment must come, so the land can be cleansed, and it has to be cleansed. And then there's a little phrase we went through there. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to mention it. Says, and then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. I wonder why he didn't just say the house of the Jews is exceeding great. You can study about that for a while. He said the house of Israel and Judah, the Jews. There's a difference.
Yes, there is.
And the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Now, this is the Lord saying this. But I will recompense their way upon their head. We have a teaching in the land, and it has a great truth. But it also brings us to a place where we can get into great error. And that is that God is love. And God won't do anything. He's love. God is love. And that is true. God is love. But the brazen altar here tells me that God is also judgment. And the scales of God, in my understanding, that they weigh, you know, before the justice and in the Supreme Court, the scales are up there, and also the Ten Commandments are up there, but they're not abiding by them. But there's still a testimony against them that they're there.
Yes.
It's a testimony that they're there.
Yes.
And the scales are there. And God's judgment, absolutely, on this side is his love, and on this side is his judgment. And those scales weigh perfect. And if they get out of balance, then God has to bring judgment. His love does not exceed his judgment. And this teaching that God is love, love, gives some people have taken it and have twisted it and made it a way for them to do things that are contrary to the word of the Lord and say, oh, but God is love. Now, I'll tell you one experience, which is extreme. It might not be. But I had a friend in California. Well, he and his family went to church. He was here to this campground. He's no longer living. He brought it on himself. And he went to attend the same church we did in California. And he had a wife and twin daughters. And we used to have meetings at our house. And he used to come to prayer meetings at our house sometimes. And in fact, he helped me with some electrical work that I needed to do. He helped me with it. And he used to come over and visit, and we got quite friendly. And I had heard that he was having other women on the side. And so I asked him about it. I said, I've heard this. When I go with another woman and we go to bed, he said, I talk in tongues all the time. Well, that's what he said to me. I thought, an abomination to God. And if you're talking in tongues, it's not from God. It's demonic tongues. And God brought his judgment. The man, he wasn't as old as I am. He's been dead now about at least 10 years. God's judgment came. His judgment is sure. But there are other things just as bad. One thing's not really worse than the other. It's all an abomination to God. When we walk in absolutely no better and we do it, that's an abomination, and God will judge you for it. He will judge you for it. And like I said, like some of you heard me say, that God's promised us 70 years. He's promised. And if you don't get the 70 years, you've got either an ancestral curse or you've got God's judgment that has shortened your lifespan. Because God promised you 70 years. And with that, and if Satan rises against you, you have authority to break that curse and to come against that sickness. Because God, you said, it is written, I have promised 70 years, Satan. And it is written, and the word of the Lord says that I'm promised it, and I'm going to have it. And you, amen. And then after that, why we still have the promise of the 120 also. So if you've got sin in your life, you need to get it washed out of there so that you don't get the consequences. Because the consequences is death. Okay. So here Ezekiel fell on his face and cried out as an intercessor for the Lord. And then the Lord said, as for me also, the Lord said, mine eye will not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. So when you get God's judgment, it comes on your head, and if it's from your ancestral curses, you need to understand how to take authority and break that. For it is written in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became your curse and mine. But it's necessary that I appropriate it in my behalf, and that you appropriate it in your behalf and come against the ancestral curses. You know, you go to the doctor, and he has you fill out a form, and they want to know what your mother died with, and your grandmother, and your grandfather, and your grandmother died with, and your mother and your dad died with. What? Ancestral curses. That's all they're doing. They're just tracing the ancestral curse. So, the Lord tells us that Jesus became our curse at Calvary when he hung on the tree. And therefore, we have the authority that tells Satan that it is written that Jesus became my curse. And it is written in Galatians 3:13, devil, that Jesus became my curse and I appropriated it in my behalf. And I take authority over the curse and I break its dominion over me and over my family. And I stand declaring that you have no right. And I cut it off in Jesus' name. And every one of us has the same authority and same privilege to appropriate that it is written. Amen, amen. Well, let's look over at Psalms 149. Psalms 149, it says, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise is in the congregation of the saints. So I declare that I will praise the Lord. Amen. You can do what you want, but I will praise the Lord. And I will sing unto the Lord. It's probably off key, as all of those of you around me know. But I'll still sing anyway. Amen. For I'm singing to the Lord and not to you. And you'll just have to move over a little ways away from me. It says, and sing his praises in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in our Maker and him that made us. And let the children of Zion be joyful in their King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them praise his name in the dance. Amen. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. And it does. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. Amen. Well, we got the tambourines and we got the guitars. We don't have a harp, but I wish we did and somebody to play it. I wish somebody would play the trumpet and the accordions we got here. Why don't somebody take some lessons so you can play these things? For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, in the praises of his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And let them sing aloud upon their beds. So it's all right to sing in your bed. If the person with you in bed, let them wake up and sing too. And not complain. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. And a two-edged sword in your hand. To do what? To execute vengeance upon the heathen. And a punishment upon the people. So God declaring that his judgment will come, and it'll be how? By the praisers and those that stand to declare the word of the Lord. It says that we're to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. And it says that this is an honor. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So, we say, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen, amen. And David said, I will praise the Lord. So each one of us need to determine the same, that I will praise the Lord. Well, what does Jeremiah chapter 51 say? Huh? Jeremiah 51, verse 20, he says, thou art my battle axe, O Israel, and weapons of war. For with you will I break in pieces the nations. So who's going to do it? God says that it's our place to do it, and that authority is given unto us. And that he's raising up an army that will stand forth and not break ranks, and they'll go forth to bring righteousness in the land. says, "And I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider." And who is that? This is the overcomers, the intercessors, the marked ones.
Yes.
And then, real quick, time's running out over here on the tape recorder. But real quick, let's look and see who these intercessors and these overcomers are. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It's all right. And let's look real quick here. God has made 8 promises to the overcomers. 8 of them. And 8 is a significant number in the kingdom of God. So, in chapter 2 of Revelation and verse 7, I'm just going to run through these. I've told Bill Smith that he needs to teach us on all these overcomers, each one. But every one of them is a sermon in itself, each one. And it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God," and the tree of life is Jesus, or the paradise, the kingdom of God. And this is the tree that Adam had a right to, and he ate of the wrong tree. So the first promise now to the overcomers, to the intercessors, is this tree of life that Adam shunned. So that's the first promise to the overcomer. The second promise is in verse 11. And it says, "To him that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So that is our promise of eternal life. Second death here in the second promise in Revelation 2 and 11. The third promise is in verse 17. It says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So he says he's going to give us a hidden manna, and he's going to give us a white stone with a new name written in it, that no man knoweth except he who received it. About 8 or 9 months ago, early last spring, the Lord gave me an understanding through a radio program I was listening to about this white stone. In the days of the Roman judges, when a man was brought before the judge and he was condemned of something that was worthy of death or something that would put him in prison for life, and he was found not guilty, the judge gave him a white stone with written in that stone was written what he was charged with and then written not guilty. And everywhere he went, if somebody tried to recharge him again for that crime, or was brought up, all he had to do was present this white stone, which showed that he was found not guilty. And the Lord says that he's going to give us a stone with a new name written in it that shows that we're not guilty, that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that he took away all of our guilt, and we're found not guilty. And with it, a new name. And then, number 4, we find in verse 26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." We've been taught grace, grace. And I've been taught also that everybody was going to reign with Jesus. That when we got saved, we're all going to reign with Jesus. Well, this says we're not. This grace came through salvation. Grace came through the Holy Spirit, and healing is by grace. And after that, we have to labor. Paul said he's run the race to win the prize. We have to contend for it. So we need to contend for the prize of the high calling. So it's here. So it is by works as well as by grace. But right here it tells us that. Number five is in chapter 3 and verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So here, we're going to walk in robes of white. When you're praying for people for deliverance and you tell the devil that they're going to walk in robes of white, sometimes the devil will say, "No, they're not. No, they won't." Say, "Yes, they will. So it is written that they'll walk in robes of white." And then here we find a scripture that takes care of eternal security. For they say that once saved, always saved. This says, "I'll not blot out your name." So that wouldn't be there unless it was possible to be blotted out. So eternal security is a false teaching and a false doctrine. Number 6, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. Bill Smith last night was talking about being pillars in the temple of the Lord. To those that are overcomers, they're going to be the pillar in the living temple, this city four square that's coming down out of heaven, the New Jerusalem. The overcomers are going to be the pillars that holds that temple together. They're going to be that which is bonded to. You're going to be the bonding that holds the temple of the Lord together, the pillars in the household of faith. And then he says that he'll write our name in the city of the New Jerusalem, our new name. And promise number 7 to the overcomers is in verse 21. And this is wonderful. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome, and have sat down with my Father in his throne. So the overcomers are going to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus and rule and reign with him. But there is still another. Every one of these promises are wonderful in themselves without going to more. But there's not only one, but there's 8. And the 8th one you will find in chapter 21. In chapter 21 of Revelation, you will find this 8th promise. Verse 7 of 21. 21:7. Let's read 6. Because it says, "And he, Jesus, said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son and or daughter." So the Lord says, not only are we going to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus and rule and reign, but we will be counted worthy to be called sons and daughters of the living God, not just a servant, not just a laborer in the kingdom, but we will be called a son and a daughter of the living. And I do not believe that everybody will attain unto that place in the kingdom. You may contend with me about that, but I believe that it's only those who desire and seek to walk after the Lord in holiness and righteousness will be granted and will be intercessors in the household of faith. Now, there are intercessors that are hid away in their closets that are worthy of far more recognition than any of us that's in this place today. And nobody knows them but God. But God knows who they are. And there's some of us that may be responsible for our salvation or for our protection, and we don't even know who they are. May never know until in the kingdom. But I believe that God has a special place, and His Word says for the intercessor that's sighing and crying for the abomination that's in the household of faith. So you desire and seek to be an intercessor in the kingdom, that God can use you for His glory to bring in the righteousness to rule and reign in the earth as God intends that it will be. For it is written that it is finished. And then when it is finished, the Lord shall come, and the day of the Lord shall come, and Jesus shall return and set up a kingdom that will rule, and that He will rule and reign in peace for 1,000 years. But everybody in that kingdom during that time will not accept the Lord. For there is a statement that says that Satan was loose for a season, and there was a multitude without number that followed after him. So even when we have a rule and reign in the kingdom for 1,000 years under the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will still be those that are in rebellion against him, and when they have the opportunity, they will stand up and rise against the Lord. That's hard to fathom, but it is written and it will take place. But we are those who will stand to bring righteousness in the kingdom. For in the day of the kingdom, it will be allotted unto some of you and unto be an authority over a hamlet, over a township, or over a... We are the ones that's going to rule, not the angels. We're the ones that's going to rule with a rod of iron. And God is preparing us for that day. He's preparing us for the day of rulership in the kingdom. And you need to understand that that's what you're being prepared for. To live a holy and righteous life. That you can be counted worthy to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus in the kingdom. When the Lord comes back, everything's not going to change overnight. Tradition taught me that when Jesus came back, everything was going to be. It's not going to be so. They're going to be, the unsaved are still going to be here in rebellion. And they will have an opportunity, I believe, to come and accept the Lord. But there's going to be, but down through, it's going to take a long time to get all the pornography cleaned up, all the liquor destroyed, all the drugs destroyed, and whatever God created the drugs for to get turned to their right use. But it's going to take 200 or 300 years or longer to cleanse the earth. And we have a job to do, to cleanse the earth. But only those who God who seek and cry out for the abominations, the intercessors cry to become an overcomer, are going to have that right to rule and reign with the Lord. And I want to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus. I want to be one who says, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to make out of me what you want to make out of me. I want to yield so I can be that vessel of holiness and righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, let this people desire to be that for your glory. Let it work in their spirits, O God, that they'll desire to be a people of holiness and righteousness for your name's sake. That you can move and dwell and work through them and use them, Father, to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, Father, to release them from the spirit of bondage and to lay hands on them, Father, and bring healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post and the blood of Calvary, Lord, that we can walk in righteousness and holiness before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. I give you praise. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.